Buckut watched them go. Even then he waited until the bottom limb of the sun touched the horizon before he stirred from his own place of concealment on the higher hilltop across the gorge. He was taking no chance on Kurt's doubling back. In the dusk he dropped swiftly and silently down the steep side of the gorge to report to Jim. Jim listened until Buckut had concluded. "That does it," he said with satisfaction. "Kurtz will attack tonight. Now that he has seen the cattle and the ivory, he will not be able to contain his greed. Follow them, Buckut. Watch their every move. I will listen for your signals." As soon as it was dark enough to hide them from any watcher on the hilltops, Jim inspanned the wagons again and moved them into a narrow re-entrant at the foot of the hills, with steep cliffs on three sides. They worked as silently as possible, without whip-cracking or shouting. In this readily defensible position, they lagered the wagons securely and lashed them wheel to wheel. They drove the herd of spare horses into the centre of the square. The horses they would ride tonight were hitched to the outside of the wagons, saddled and with muskets and cutlasses in the scabbards, ready for an instant sortie. Then Jim went out to where Inkunzi, the head herdsman, and his Nguni waited. Under Jim's orders, they bunched up the cattle and moved them quietly another three cables' length up the gorge from the bedding ground Kurtz had spied out at sundown. Jim spoke to the herders and explained exactly what he wanted of them. There was some muttered protest from these men, who looked upon the cattle as their children and were highly solicitous of their welfare, but Jim snarled at them and their protests subsided. The cattle had sensed the mood of their herders, and they were restless and fretful. Inkunzi moved among them and played them a lullaby on his reed flute. They began to settle, and some couched for the night. However, they kept bunched up together. In these nervous hours they needed the mutual assurance of the herd. Jim went back to the wagons and made sure that all his men had eaten their dinner, and that they were booted and armed, ready to ride. Then he and Louisa climbed a short way up the cliff above the laager. From there they would be able to hear Buckut's signals. They sat close together, sharing a woolen cape against the sudden night chill, and talked quietly. "They won't come before moonrise," Jim predicted. "When is that?" Louisa asked. Earlier in the evening they had consulted the almanac together, but she asked again, mainly to hear his voice. "A few minutes before 10 o'clock. We are 7 days from full moon. Just enough light for it." At last the moonrise lightened the eastern horizon. Jim stiffened and threw off the cape. On the hills on the far side of the gorge an eagle owl hooted twice. An eagle owl never hoots twice. "That's Buckut," Jim said quietly. "They're coming." "Which side of the river?" Louisa asked as she stood up beside him. "They will come to where they saw the wagons at sunset, on this side of the river." The eagle owl hooted again, much closer. "Kurtz is coming on fast." Jim turned to the path down to the laager. "Time to mount up." The men were waiting beside the horses, darkly muffled figures. Jim spoke a few words to each quietly. Some of the herd boys had grown enough to be able to ride and handle a musket. The smallest, led by Izizi, the flea, would bring up the pack horses with spare powder, shot, and the water bags, in case there was heavy fighting. Tegwani had 20 of the Nguni warriors under his command, and he would stay to guard the wagons. Intepi, Tegwani's granddaughter, was standing beside Zama, helping him secure his equipment on Crow's back. These days the two spent much of their time together. Jim went to him now and spoke low. "Zama, you are my other arm. One of us must ride beside Welanga every minute. Do not become separated from her."
"Welanga should stay in the laager with the other woman," Zama replied.
"You are right, old friend," Jim grinned. "She should do as I tell her, but I have never been able to find the words to convince her of that." The eagle owl hooted again, three times. "They're close now." Jim looked at the gibbous moon sailing above the hills. "Mount," he ordered. Every man knew what he had to do. Quietly they swung up onto the horses' backs. On Drumfire and Trueheart, Jim and Louisa led them to where Inkunzi waited with his warriors, guarding the bedded herds.
"Are you ready?"
Jim asked as he rode up. Inkunzi's shield was on his shoulder, and his assegai glinted in the moonlight. His men pressed up close behind him.
"I will lay a feast for your hungry blades tonight. Let them eat and drink their fill," Jim told them. "Now you know what you have to do. Let us begin."
Quickly and silently, in an orderly, disciplined evolution, the warriors formed into an extended double rank across the breadth of the gorge, from riverbank to cliff wall. The horsemen drew up behind them.
"We are ready, great lord," Inkunzi sang out.
Jim drew his pistol from the holster on the front of his saddle and fired a shot into the air. Immediately the still night was plunged into a hubbub and uproar. The Nguni drummed on their shield with the blades of their assegais and shouted their war cries. The horsemen fired their muskets and yelled like banshees. They surged forward down the gorge, and the cattle lumbered to their feet. The bulls bellowed in alarm, for they were sensitive to the temper and mood of their herders. The breeding cows lowed plaintively, but when the ranks of yelling, drumming warriors bore down on them, they panicked and whirled away before them. These were all the heavy beasts, with great humps and swinging dewlaps. The span of their horns was twice the reach of a man's spread arms. Over the centuries, the Nguni had bred them for this attribute, so that the cattle might better defend themselves against lions and other predators. They could run like wild antelope, and when threatened, they would defend themselves with those great racks of horn. In a dark and solid mass, they stampeded down the valley. The running warriors and galloping horsemen pressed close behind them.